Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Indie Film Review. My name is Dan, and that is Jared.
Hey.
But this week is a special episode of the Indie Film Review, because this is not an episode of the Indie Film Review. This is, in fact...
What?
Mo Divination.
Oh, okay.
So take the dice in front of you and roll them.
You know what's funny? I actually have dice in front of me.
Well, what, exactly. I will roll it. You think I'm a fucking stupid person?
Yes, I do. All right, here we go. Oh, shit, I dropped one. Let me roll the other dice. I got a 45.
Four and five, okay. Well, take the marker and write those numbers down. And let's start reviewing this one.
I don't have a marker. Dan, have there been cameras in this dice the entire time?
I mean, the dice are heavy. I couldn't get rid of the heaviness of the cameras.
These dice are like golf ball size. They're huge. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This has been our show. I hope you... So on the Indie Film Review, we review independent films. Yes, you know that. We all know that. Today we watched Rock... Paper, Scissors, Shoot. Is that correct?
No, that's incorrect. It is...
It's...
Rock, Paper, Dice, Enter.
Enter. So I guess, like, I was reading a review on this, and this made total sense. Rock is the diamonds in the diamond heist of the film. Paper is, like, the knowledge, you know? It's like, the documentation of the secret... The secrets that people are trying to hide. Dice is the randomness of it, and Enter is technology.
Ooh.
So it's actually kind of a cool title.
Yeah.
I actually do appreciate it. Kind of makes you think a little bit. I mean, I didn't get it because I'm a big old dummy. And there's a lot of things in this movie, I will say, that I had trouble comprehending for one reason or another, which we will get into.
We'll get into it, yes. As always, we will get into it. But I will piggyback on your comment and say that this film seems hyper specific. Like, it's made for a very specific audience who's going to be, like, really into it. Yeah. There was a lot of metaphor and a lot of symbolism that just kind of went over my head.
There's a lot of, like, teachings of Buddha in this, and a lot of philosophizing, if you will.
Which,
that I feel like maybe got in the way of the plot sometimes. With there's just like when your entire plot is that it there's no like breathing room for the viewer, I guess, is what I was having issue with.
Philosophy has its place in film, and I feel like,
well, here's what I'm saying: if all the characters are speaking in riddles. And you don't have a straight man, even like with, you know, comedy, you have like the one guy who is, he's not being funny. He's just letting the funny stuff happen to him. And he's trying to react to the situation as if it was like a normal person would. But if you have like two people who are just yelling and shouting and trying to be as funny as they can at each other over and over and over again, it's too much. You're just like, I can't handle this scene. I don't know what's going on. So if two people are talking... Socrates to each other back and forth, and they're just only speaking in riddles and questions, then it gets a little frustrating.
Right.
So that's kind of how I felt about it.
Okay, well, my 30...
Oh, we should actually explain. Should explain what the film is.
Here we go. So Rock, Paper, Dice, Enter is a... It took me a while to understand what was happening, but this is basically the gist of the movie. There's a dude who works in this technology center it's like an IT thing that is in this fictional city, and this fictional city has this kind of secret organization of the higher-ups of the city, like the police chief, the fire chief. They call themselves the Phantom Six or something, and they protect the city. And from my understanding, this guy's whole motivation is just to prove to them that they are, able to be infiltrated?
I guess.
Like, I didn't quite understand the main character's motivation for doing what he does, but basically, he steals a bunch of diamonds from people who were already stealing diamonds, and leads the people on a gigantic wild goose chase and just gives them the diamonds anyway.
I think the deal is he was trying to teach them Buddhism through his actions. He was trying to, like, take the moral high ground and be like, listen, you guys need to figure out your shit. He also does steal something else besides the diamonds, which we'll get into in spoilers. So, okay, I guess we'll do questions. How did you feel about the directing and the cinematography of this film, Dan?
It was beautiful. This film is amazing to look at.
Yeah,
that is
for sure
the strength of this film. There's so many, like, really creative shots, like a lot of high key lights and silhouettes. There's a lot of really cool camera movement in this film. Like, it is competently made, and more so than just competently made. It's like they had fun filming this. You can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But where the film for me takes a step back is in, like, I got lost in the writing. I don't think the writing was bad. I just think it was disorganized. And then that made me, like, once I finally understood the story, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But it took me like 30 to 40 minutes to understand the story.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Another issue I think you can have when writing is, and I suffer from this too, is where you have to think of each character from a different perspective. So if you're writing 10 characters, you can't have them all have the same voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though it's your voice that's writing them, they need to have their own personalities. And I feel like a lot of the characters in this were just the same loudspeaker of the person who was
writing. Could have been the Phantom 2 instead of the Phantom 6.
there wasn't enough pushback of all these different characters. Like, you have to think of, like, okay, what does this character fear? What does this character love? What does this character want? And if all of those things are the same as the main character, and it's like every single character all has those same feelings and they're all talking the same way and feeling the same way, it gets weird. You're in this weird echo chamber of, like, everyone sounds the same. It's just strange. I feel like that was a detriment to the film. I will agree to you. I did like the cinematography. I did like the directing. I liked how this movie looked. What did you think about the acting?
It depends on who it was. Like, certain actors, I'm like, man, okay, you should probably take that again. And then other actors, I'm like, this is pretty awesome. Like, the main actor who, he's one of the ones that sent this to us. Let's pull up the email so I don't fuck it up.
Sure.
Directed by Srila Chakrabarty, and it's written by Kash Ghani. And Kash Ghani also stars in the film.
Yes.
And he was...
I think he does a pretty good job.
He was a good actor, yeah, absolutely. The ones that were iffy to me are, like, a lot of the extras. A lot of the extras are just like, ugh. Like, the guy with the dreadlocks.
Well, that's usually, I mean, that's
what
extras do.
There are so many scenes with the guy in the dreadlocks. I'm like, oh my God. Just, I mean, I don't want to shit on him because he did a good job, but it's just, some scenes were just like, oh my God.
You know what? I'll defend him. I'll defend these guys because I'll say, I don't think anyone's acting made me go like, ugh. You know, like, I wasn't, like, taken out of the film by anyone's acting. And I think the actors in the control room of, like, the Phantom 6 or whatever, I thought they all competently read their lines.
Yeah.
They all did a great job. And I for what they had to say, even though I honestly feel like a lot of them, when they were delivering their lines, they're kind of like, we don't know what we're saying.
Here's what I have to say about that. So during those scenes where we're in that room, and all of them are, you know, spouting their lines off, they were doing well. What would have helped them, I think, is cleaner editing. Because if you have cleaner edits, you can force beats upon actors and take away beats. So, you know, the actors might not be hitting the beats and they might be doing well, but you can fix that with the magic of editing. And it's just something to
Yeah, you're right. Editing is so important to the flow of the film.
Another area of the film, like, anytime that we had action sequences, some of the shots were a little choppy because there was a complete action and then that action cut to the same action from a different angle, and then it felt like it was longer than it should be, if that makes sense.
Like, I thought the effects were pretty cool.
Oh, the effects were
they
awesome.
They seemed practical to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if they used any special, digital effects. Maybe they did, but I don't know. I didn't notice it. I thought it was cool. One actor that really stood out for me, oh, let me see if I can get his name. It's the guy who played Lee.
Yeah, Lee was awesome.
Richard Lee was great.
Well, because you intro, like, his, the very first scene of the movie is also the very last scene of the movie, and it's so fucking intense for this character, and you're like, why is he screaming?
Richard Lee, this is the only film he's been in, apparently. I don't know why. He was so expressive and emotive. Like, there's a scene where he's going through, like, a junk store, and he's, like, picking things up and looking at things, and he's like a tinkerer, you know? He's, like, an IT guy, so he loves all this, like, old tech, and he's messing around with it. And his face told the whole story.
Yeah.
I was like, this whole movie could just be about this kid. Dan, did you have a question for me before we get into spoilers?
Yeah, I do have a question. So, story-wise, like, just to kind of get into your head of while you were watching the movie... How long did it take you to fully understand what was going on? Because like I said, it took me a while. I want to know how long you...
I don't know if I ever did.
Oh, really?
I mean, like, maybe you can extrapolate in spoilers. I get the initial diamond stuff. I'm still not sure what the Phantom Six is and why they're doing it. I don't get the stuff that is stolen at the end, to be honest. All right, so we're going to get into spoilers. If you'd like to watch this movie, it is on Amazon Prime. Rock, Paper, Dice, Enter 2014.
It's kind of like an espionage thriller type movie, but again, it's not action thriller. It's two different parties in two different rooms. Like, you have 12 people in one room and one person fucking with them in a completely different room across town. And the majority of the film takes place in these rooms. So you have to, like, be ready to engage in those conversations.
Can I say, the premise of this is actually really great.
Yes.
Like, if this movie had a big budget, this could easily be, like, a big Hollywood. You could put, like, a Tom Cruise in here and, like... just make, like, a helicopter fly around. He could, like, dangle falafel it. You could dangle falafel it, and we could have a lot of great pancakes and syrup. It would be really nice and tasty. You get what I'm saying. Fuck me. All right. So, okay, we're going to spoil it.
Okay.
Dan, why don't you talk about a scene you would like to talk about?
All right. The first scene that we should talk about, just to set context, is these people in this room. You have, just to name them, like, and again, I hope it's the Phantom Six. It might be something else.
I don't know what the Phantom Six is, because there's a lot of people in that room.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, I don't know if I'm labeling it correctly. So, basically, you have the chief of police, you have the fire chief, you have some dude who is in the field of medicine, you have the mayor, and you have...
It's all the most important people of the town, basically,
yeah.
Right?
And then the FBI comes in, and they help out. And the FBI consists of two women and a data analyst who always has the same line. Like, it's they always kind of give him a very similar line where he's like, "Oh, it's coming from China now. Gotta trace it." And that happens multiple times. So, but what's going on in this room is you have these people, and they're part of what we understand as maybe the secret society that quietly runs this fictional city without people knowing. And this person who is antagonizing them understands them and is trying to prove to them that they are hackable, I guess.
So, okay. I think, I don't know if it's the Phantom Six, but what they do, I think what they do is they make off-site backups of all the financials and technology-related stuff for the town.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they are doing that thing. And I think that the main character doesn't want the diamonds. First it's the diamonds, then he realizes, oh, I've hacked into this thing, I can figure this out. Then he's like, I want to steal that information?
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I think that's what's happening.
Well, okay, so in this room, they're always waiting for the call from this guy.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I'm going to call you at random times, so don't even be expecting me. Just know that I'm going to do that. And he toys with them philosophically. One by one. He's like, how many people are in the room? They're like, nine. He's like, see, you're lying to me. You can't lie to me if you want to establish trust. And it goes on through that. So all of these scenes where he's fucking with them philosophically, there's not enough on the outside that gives us context, because everything that we get is told in a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to kind of ascertain where the story is at any certain point.
I think the story should have focused around the three hero leads. Yeah. Like, so Lee, the girl Kat, and Roman,
yeah,
who is like the main character. All three of them, we should have seen a day in the life. Like, the first 30 minutes of this should have been establishing who they are, what they want. We want to know, like, their personality, you know, like, their, just everything about them. And then you get into the big overarching, like, oh, there now, is this.
To be fair to the film,
diamond heist.
This is that, that what you said does happen, but it only lasts about like 3 minutes tops.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, I want to know the reasons why they would even want to steal the diamonds in the first place. We all know that they work in an IT data center and they're all kind of friends, but I needed more than that. Here's a great question one of the Phantom people asks Roman. They're like, what are we negotiating? And I just wrote, great question. Because there's so much of it where even the Phantom Six doesn't understand what the negotiation is, because he is fucking with them so hard. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's some flaws technology-wise with this, because, okay, you have this guy on the phone. They can trace the call, right? You'd think they're trying to trace the call every single time. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long you got to keep somebody on the phone to trace the call, but maybe they could have done that.
Well,
maybe they
the issue was he's pinging off of everywhere. Like, he himself is, Roman is a really good hacker. He's established to be a genius, but then he's also established by the Phantom Six. Like, they start picking up clues that he could possibly be a person of interest overseas. Like a religious figure of sorts. I don't know. It was I couldn't quite understand that. And then at the very end, he is.
I don't know how that works. So like his whole goal to infiltrate this IT place and do this stuff to prove a point,
and then go back and live
through Buddhism and
Buddhist peace. I don't know.
Because like, if it was like this ultra long con for him to go there and like do, like, he must have known about the diamond heist and like all this stuff. I don't know. It's pretty elaborate. But my thing is, the government finds out who they are pretty fast.
Yeah.
And they also kidnap Lee immediately. So they have Lee. Lee is telling them who everyone is. He's spilling the beans, it looks like, right? Why are they still confused as to like who Roman is? And, like, they're trying to figure out where he is and what's going on, because they know who he is.
Okay, so that was part of the story that didn't make sense to me. Because for such a long time, they're like, who is this person? And then all of a sudden, they're like, it's Roman. Bad Roman. We should
have
known.
They go back to, who is this person? I'm like, exactly. No, you fucking know who it is. It was strange.
So it did jump really back strange. And forth in that regard. But I really liked his quips. Like, one of my favorite lines in the film, he says it twice. The mayor will try to get involved, and then he'll be like, "Mayor, this is not your politics." I'm like, "Yes, this is not your politics, Mayor. You stay away." But he wanted to fuck with her in one way, shape, or form. But I feel like that was kind of a part of the story that died off before it came to fruition. I want to know more about the Phantom Six, really, and I want to know how they came to be.
I didn't understand the stakes and why would Roman want to do this to them and steal their data? Is he a good guy? Like, is he taking this stuff with good intentions? I couldn't figure out.
Well, I feel like, okay, so to comment on that, I feel like it's supposed to be ambiguous because of these tenets he's trying to preach to them. Like, this idea of something being logical and something being random. He has I guess he's adverse to logic, and he's more in favor of random ideas. That's what he's constantly doing to these people. He's like, it's random.
Well, what's the deal with the, so he's got the dice.
Mm-hmm.
He makes them pick up a package that has the diamonds in it that he's hidden, and a bunch of dice. Because they're going to set up a transaction where they're going to give him Lee, and mm-hmm. he's going to give them the diamonds. And he's like, okay, I want everyone to roll these two dice and tell me what number is on them. And they all do that. And then he's like, okay, everyone write it down on the piece of paper. And he's going to use this to determine, like, who's in the car, you know, who's going to show up, who's going to stay, blah, blah, blah. But he also tells them to write down their hex numbers, their hexadecimal number.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get... Did you understand what he was talking about?
I have no idea.
Yeah. And everyone was very adverse to doing that. They're like, oh, I won't do such a thing. And I'm like, what? I don't know. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of things in this movie that just went over my head, and I don't get why. Like, I know what a hexadecimal number is. I just don't know. I don't know what my hexadecimal number is.
Exactly.
Do you know, Dan?
No, I have no idea.
Strange. Movie is strange.
Let's talk about the things that are happening outside of the meeting rooms.
Okay.
So, the diamonds are taken from a... Okay. The diamonds are a complicated bit. There's this these two workers, Yoshi and I forgot the other guy's name, and they work for this... this delivery service for tech, mm-hmm. like hardware tech, like wires and shit. And
yeah, hardware tech, wires and shit.
Yoshi seems to think that the company's called C4, and he's like, it stands for all the things that are diamond, like cut and carat and blah, 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 blah. And mm-hmm. his partner's like, no, it actually stands for this. But it turns out Yoshi's right. And it is this hardware firm is a front for diamonds. And the dude who runs it is like based in Canada, but he's from Mumbai originally. It's mm-hmm. it's so much information that you don't know what to do with because it's just diamonds. Like, they needed to somehow...
It's supposed to be like dirty money because I guess people use the diamonds as money laundering, so they have to pay taxes and all, like, you know, a bunch of other shit to pay people off. So if the film was really just about the diamonds and them getting the diamonds away from the bad people who are doing the money laundering, I understand that. Well, I guess maybe Roman wants to stop them at the core and not just gain off of the diamonds financially, because if you take these diamonds away, they're probably not that much to the evil Phantom Six. They're like, whatever. I mean, we got tons of fucking money in diamonds. We'll just keep doing our business. We'll take you out. So I guess because he's stolen everything from them, all the financial records, dude, it's all clicking now. All of them are literally going to be financially bankrupt because all their money is digital. Like, all the records, that is going to be
gone.
That
makes a lot more sense.
So if he deletes everything at the core site, and he has copies of everything as a backup, and he keeps that. He literally has their entire... He has all of them held hostage. He can kind of make
them do
whatever
he wants. But that's only, like, this private organization in this fictional city. Like, what are the stakes of that? We don't quite understand the weight that it carries globally, I guess.
That's true. Because
it seems like it's a global espionage-type movie, but it's literally... a made-up city that's, like, near New York or something.
I think it's good, though, that he used, like, a fake city. I feel like it gives you a little more leeway in playing around with stuff like that. One more thing I wanted to talk about, which I thought was interesting, is when the chief of police gets a phone call from Roman, and he's like, I want you to activate Operation Phantom or whatever, and he's like, get it going right now. And he just does what this guy, Roman, says. He's like, all right, I'm going to do it immediately. So he activates them or whatever. He's like, all right, I'm going to go meet in the secret meeting place. Roman tells him, you have 30 minutes to get everyone ready and I'm going to call you. Then when he meets with everyone in that room, he says, we have 20 minutes before he calls us. And they're talking now together. I'm like, so did you guys meet together in this room in 10 minutes? What the hell? Are you kidding me? Like, how do you get all these people together in this one room?
It's a small city, and they live right down the street from the
guy,
place.
The guy woke up in the middle of the night and got this phone call.
Yeah, it was like, fucking midnight. This movie starts at midnight.
I don't know. I just thought it was weird. All right, Dan, any more final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I thought what made this film really interesting to me is the fact that you have this hacker dude who seems to be benevolent, and this Phantom Six force that seems to be benevolent too. Like, you know, you have two ideas of protectors versus secrecy. And it feels really strange and ambiguous. And nothing seems malevolent, but everybody's doing things that are not necessarily savory, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you this ambiguity between good and bad, and I really like that.
I mean, I wanted to enjoy the story more, but my dummy brain would not allow it.
Yeah, my dummy brain was a hard sell for my dummy brain, for sure.
Yeah, you got to dumb it down for dummies like us. I mean, I don't like when movies spoon-fed you. I don't like when movies spoon-feed you, of course, but if I don't understand most of the plot, that is an issue.
Yeah.
There's things you can do to remedy stuff like that. I feel like I'm probably not the only one.
As always, you wonderful, wonderful listeners, you can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Find us.
Hell yeah. Dude, Spotify's been doing really well for us.
Support indie film.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, you know what? Let's do, like, movie recommendations. That could be, like, a fun thing we could do at the end of the podcast.
Okay, yeah.
You got any movie recommendations, Dan?
So, I watched last night. Well, I got two. Okay. If you like Nicolas Cage, okay, so we all know that, like, Keanu Reeves and Nicolas Cage, they're not necessarily the best actors in the world, but mm-hmm. we watch them because of how they act and how intense yeah. they are. There's a film yes. on Hulu called Primal where Nicolas Cage...
oh, man! Yeah, you told me about this. This looks interesting.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You should totally watch Primal. It's very fun just for Nick Cage. And then I also watched Mulan early, and that movie, I would watch Primal again before I watch Mulan.
Really? Yeah. Oh, man. You got to pay like $30 or pirate did, that film yeah. to watch we, it. It's we, like, we fuck that shit, dude.
Oh, it'll be God. Available in December. But, like, I mean, it was a fun movie. It's just, it was lacking something. I can't quite tell you what it is.
Speaking of films that fuck with your brain, like Rock, Paper, Dice, I'm thinking of Ending Things on Netflix, just released recently. Really strange, bizarre film. I would go into it completely blind. It's based off a book. Excellent, excellent acting in it. Toni Collette's in it from Hereditary, the mom. Oh. She's super, super good. Jesse Plemons is in it. He's from... So I say season one of Fargo, but Jesse Plemons is actually from season two of Fargo. Okay, bye. All the other actors are just fantastic. Everyone's so good in it. But it's a film you watch once and go, this is really good. I'll never watch this film again. So, yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, check it out.
Fucking Charlie Kaufman directed that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, yeah. So
that, I'm thinking of ending things.
That's why. Fucking Eternal Sunshine, being John Malkovich. So
yeah, Charlie Kaufman's a lunatic. The guy's yeah. a fucking psycho, and I love him. He's a fucking psychopath. Hey, so that's the show. Go check out necropodicon.com. You can click on the link to the Discord there. You can come say hello to us. A lot of great shows over there. We appreciate you. Dan, you get the final word.
This is not the final word. It's Mo Divination. Roll the dice.
Hey, new best friend. Have you ever created something so embarrassing in your childhood years that it's now hidden away from everyone till the end of time? It's a good thing you listened to that instinct, because we didn't. I'm Emily.
And I'm Erica.
And we host a podcast called Grow Out of It, all about laughing at the stories we wrote in our youth.
She gave them each a hard strike across the face.
What? You're telling me?
No.
Reminiscing about our childhoods.
I edited this one photo of you like 13 times.
And going on weird tangents about it.
Sounds like a strain of marijuana.
Oh, I was gonna say it sounds like a lube.
We also host guests who share their creativity with us.
That's the thing that I thought was super badass when I wrote it.
No, it's good. I mean, I'm terrified.
Sure enough, 30 minutes later. the siren sounded the entire...
He just sat there on the floor for 30 minutes.
And feature underground music artists. Laugh and cry with us every Sunday on the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.